Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we're on to Daf Gimel of Masechtas Pesachim. Beis Amud Beis, the last line, the final three words on the Amud, Meisvei Mar Zutra. As you recall, we began our Masechta yesterday that there's a mitzvah to do Bedikas Chometz. And that Bedikas Chometz has to be done on Erev Pesach. When on Erev Pesach? The Mishnah said, Oir Li Arba Asar. The light of the 14th day. What does that mean, the light of the 14th day? So we had a machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna says, that means the morning. Because oir means yoim, light, day. So, the morning of the 14th, in other words, Erev Pesach, you get up early in the morning and you do bedikas chametz. Rav Yehuda said, no, leili, means the night before, the evening of, the eve of the 14th day. Machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. So, we already had several rayas back and forth yesterday, and we had one ray that the Gemara said, Shema Mina, that Rav Yehuda is right, and it means Taka night. What was that raya? You'll remember in the middle of the Omid Beis, Meisvei, about halfway down, Meisvei Rav Yehuda, Oimer Boidkin Oir, Arba Oser, Uba Arba Oser, Shachris. You have to go and be boidik three times, says Rabbi Yehuda. One time at the Oir Arba Asar, one time Arba Asar Shachris, and one time Beshas Habir. No, it's crystal clear that Rabbi Yehuda, when he says both Oir and Shachris, Oir means the night before, and Shachris means the morning. So we had a clear ride that the word Oir from Rabbi Yehuda means at night. And therefore we assume the same thing with our Mishnah, that Oir means at night, says the Gemara, Shema Mina, Taka Guterai. But then the Gemara went back and forth with several more rayas, and most of those other rayas, the Gemara was Doche, and said, no, you have no raya. And now the Gemara is continuing on. Meisvei Mar Zutra. I have a Mishnah, Mesechtes Krisus, which is also brought in Mesechtes Idias, Legabi the Din of Amapelis. Amapelis Or Lishmoinim V'Echad. What exactly is the case of Machpelas? So we have to do a quick review of Hilchos Yoledes. Yoledes means a woman that just gave birth. So the Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Kisazria that if she gave birth to a yingala means to a boy, then she is tamei for the next 7 days. Regardless of whether she saw blood, she didn't see blood, for the next 7 days she is tamei tumas leida. After the 7th day is over, she toivels at night, and then she is tohoir for the next 33 days. Even if she sees blood throughout the 33 days, she is tohoira, tohoira labala. If we add 7 and 33, we get 40 days. After 40 days are over, matzah 40 days, again she toivels in the mikvah. Starting on day 41, she has a chiyuv to bring a korban, a special korban, because she was a yoledes. Fine. Now let's talk about if she didn't have a yingla, but she had a meidala. She had a baby daughter. It's exactly the same, but double. Which means the first 14 days we have yamei tuma, and then the next 66 days she has yamei tahara. And if we add 14 and 66, we get to approximately 80. At the end of the 80th day, matzah 80th day, she goes to the mikvah. The morning of day 81, she has the obligation to bring a korban. She doesn't have to bring it on day 81. She can bring it at 82 and 85 and 90. But the point is, her obligation is triggered on day number 81. A special korban that Yoledes brings in the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. Okay. Now let's talk about multiple korbanos. So what means multiple korbanos? What happens if before she brought her korban later, she had another child? Maybe you can go and use one korban for both children. So back in Masechtas Krisus and Nida, we learned that yes, if no, not as a machlokes, it depends when the child was born. Was the child born before the Melois? Melois means before the end of the 80 days. Or was the child born after the 80 days? Now, thinking about it for a moment, you realize it's impossible that another child is born within the 80 days, because after all, she just gave birth to a child. And, well, we're talking about that it was not a twin situation.
Delayed twin?
It's true in Mesechus Nida, we have a documented case of two brothers that were 3 months apart because they were twins. Okay?
Wow.
That's a very, very nice case. Let's put that case on the side because that is rare, very rare, unique, and unusual. What would be the normal case of a woman having a second child within 80 days? And the answer is when she's mapil. Mapil means when she unfortunately had a miscarriage, which means the first 14 days after she gave birth to her baby girl, she was not able to live with her husband because she was tamei. However, at the end of 14 days, she went to the mikveh, she lived with her husband, and she became pregnant again. Okay. Is this something that happens on a regular basis? No, because most women, since they are nursing, or at least potentially nursing, then they can't have a baby for a while. But once again, this woman did become pregnant. And unfortunately, she lost her child within the next 66 days, which means before the 80 days were over, she already had a miscarriage. That being the case, on the miscarriage, you also have a chiyuv to go and bring karbanos as a yoledes. Oh, on day 81, she can bring one carbon for both for the viable child, as well as for nebuch, for the navel, for the miscarriage. However, what happens if she miscarried on day 81, or day 82, or 83, or 84? That's already after the 80 days are over. Then she has a naya, separate chiyuv carbon. So she'd have to bring a carbon for her viable child, and she's going to have to bring a separate carbon, nebuch, for the navel, for the miscarriage. Fine.
80 days later, after that.
No, you don't have to wait 80 more days. Just whenever she's ready, she can go and bring a carbon. Anyway, so now, you know, you might be right. Maybe you have to wait another 40 days. Okay, we don't have to go into those cheshbonos. For our purposes, all we have to know is if the child was miscarried prior to the 80th day, you don't have to bring a separate carbon. If the child was miscarried on day 81 and further, you do have to bring a separate carbon. Which leaves us now for the transitional Bein Hashmoshes Bein Hazmanim period. What am I referring to? What happens if she miscarried the night between day 80 and day 81? At the end of 80 days, she goes to the mikveh, either prior to going to the mikveh, or when she was in the mikveh, or when she came out of the mikveh. Doesn't make a difference, but the point is that night, unfortunately, she miscarried. Now what happens? The next morning, 81, she's supposed to bring a carbon. She asks the kohen, what do I do? Do I bring just one carbon for my viable child? And that will be yotze, with that will be moitzi, the nebuch, the nefil, the miscarriage. Or do I have to bring two separate kabanas? And depending on whether the kohen happens to be part of the Beis Shammai, or part of the Beis Hillel, he will give her the answer. Like it says in our Mishnah, Hamapelis or Lishmoinim the Echad, she was Mapil, Mapil means she had a miscarriage, or that's the key word over here, or Lishmoinim the Echad, and here we don't mean the next morning, we mean at night, mean the night after 80 is over, the night between 80 and 81. What happens now? She's Mapil, Beis Shammai, Poitrimi Karm. Bishamai says you do not have to bring two karbanis. With one karban, your yoitza, both for the viable child and for the miscarriage. Well, Beisil Machai, Beisil says, no, you got to go bring two separate karbanis. It's chumra, right? It's a rare case where Beisil is machmer. Exactly right. Shkoyachet. Amru lehem Beisil. It shouldn't be lohen. Lohen is a feminine form. It should say lohem with a mem. That's what the correction is on the side. It's Amru lehem Beisil lebeishamai. So Beisil says to Beishamai, Maishna oir shmoinim v'echad, miyoim shmoinim v'echad. Beisil is trying to convince Beishamai to have to bring two karbanas. And he says, what's the difference between matzah 80 and 81 during the day? It's both the same day. Im shiva loy l'tumma, lo yishva loy l'karban. If they're the same for tumma purposes, shouldn't they be the same for karban purposes? What does he mean that they're the same for tumma purposes? Because as we said, that throughout the 66 days between day 15 through day 80, any blood that she saw is called Dmei Toihar. Dmei Toihar means that these are bloods of Tahara, of purity. She does not become Tamei, she's Tar. But as soon as 80 days are over, Shkia Tzeisek Chavim, it's done. If she sees any blood from this point on, then she's tameh, just like a regular needle, regular zava. In other words, she has normal hilchos tumah, just like a regular woman that sees blood on a regular basis. Aha. So that happens if she sees blood that night after the 80 days, and the same thing if she sees the blood on the 81st day, and then the 82nd day, the 83rd day. She now is back in the normal, regular tumah cycle. Ah, says the Gemara, im shiva lo tumah, since there's no difference between whether she sees blood that night, matzah 80, and whether she sees blood on 81, the halacha of tumah would apply. So the halacha of karmen also applies, that if she saw a child that night, not saw a child, if she was mapo, she miscarried that night, is the same thing as if she was miscarrying on day number 81. If she miscarried in 81, everybody agrees you'd have to have a separate carbon. So, says Basil, the same thing should apply if she miscarried the night before 81. That's the discussion in the Mishnah, and now the Gemara is midayik. The Gemara makes an inference. Midik Amr Basil Bei Shammai. Maishna or Shemoyne V'yachad. Miyoyim Shemoyne V'yachad. What's the difference between the Oyer of 81 and the day of 81? Obviously, the word Oyer in this connection doesn't mean the day, because you can't say, what's the difference between the day of 81 and the day of 81? There's no difference. They're both the day of 81. So, we have another Gemara here. So, it must be, says the Gemara, that the Oyer Shemoyne V'yachad means the night before. And therefore what he's saying is, what's the difference between the eve of 81 and the morning of 81? Shmamina or Ortu. So I have yet another writer that uses the Lashon Oyer in that Mishnah. It means the night before. So that's probably the Pshat in our Mishnah too. Or the Arbasa means the night before. Shmamina l'choira, you have another excellent raya to Rav Yehuda, that it means takaleli, night. And against Rav Huna, that says it means the day. A good raya is clear as day and night. But let's go and try to find additional rayas. Meisve, yachli ein nechal or lishlishi. I would think that a karm shlomim, you can go and eat the eve of day number 3. What does that mean? Virtually all karbonis that are edible, as opposed to, for instance, an oila, which is kula kol, totally consumed on the Mizbeach. All other kabbanis, typically you eat liyoim v'layla. Now, although we say yoim v'layla, it really means layla v'yoim. Oh, you could say, no, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Yoim v'layla. What means yoim v'layla? If I brought today, halavai the Bismigdi should be reopened. Today, during the day, I brought a karbin, l'moshel karm chatas. Or I brought a karbin toide. Or I brought a karbin osham. Or I brought a karbin b'char. All of these karbanis can be eaten liyoim, meaning on the day when the karbin is brought, and v'layla, and at night. Min ha-toira, you can eat these karbanis until the next morning, aloysa shachar, netzacham, you can eat until the next day. However, as we learned back in the first Mishnah in Masechtas Brachos, the Chacham made a harchaka. Harchaka means that the Chacham made a safeguard. Because I'm concerned that people will say, well, I still got time. Look, I'm looking at my watch. I still got until 5, 6 o'clock. Plenty of time, plenty of time. And then the guy dozes off and falls asleep. And guess what? It's already too late. You can't eat the karbon anymore. So therefore they said, until Chatzos. You can eat it until 12 o'clock. Midnight. And don't eat it beyond that. Okay, but min ha-toira, you can eat it the whole day and the whole night. Good. So now, what about a karm shlum? Shlum is very, very special. Shlum is the only karm that we find. I think also b'char. Shlum is shnei yomim v'layla echad. Shnei yom means that you can eat it for 2 days and 1 night. Now, what does it mean, 2 days and 1 night? It means the day that you brought the carbon. Today is Tuesday. You can eat it the whole day today, Tuesday. You can eat it tonight, the whole Tuesday night. And the whole Wednesday. Shnei yomim v'laylech. So now the Gemara says, l'choira, I should say, that since shlum is similar to other karbanis, allow also for a second night. Not only Tuesday, Tuesday night, and Wednesday, but also Wednesday night. And that's the discussion that we have now in this Gemara. I would think that you can continue eating the carbon shlomim even beyond the end of the second day and eat it into the eve, the night of the third day. Again, we use the term oyer. So, why should I say that? Because zvachim nechon liyemechad ushlom nechon lishnei yomim. Your regular carbon can be eaten for 1 day, a shlom can be eaten for 2 days. Malalon, just like by your regular carbon, it's laila acharyim, after the day ends, you could continue eating it at night. Afkan, also by the shlamim, l'choira laila acharyim, you can continue eating the carbon at night after the 2 days are over. So I would have thought. Talma loyma, that's why I have a beferish pasuk that addresses this issue. Beyoyim zivchachem yeyachel, you can eat the carbon on the day of the zvicha. Zvicha means the day of the shechita, the day that you shechta, bring the carbon, yeyachel, you can eat it on that day. Umi machras, and also machar. Machar means and the next day. Oh, therefore, says the Gemara momentarily, you can eat it by yoyim, the first day, umi machras, and the second day. Vanoisar ad yoim, the Gemara leaves out the rest of the pasuk. Vanoisar ad yoim ashlishi ba'esh yisarev. That means what happens if you didn't eat up the whole carbon? Did you? It was just too much for you and your family. Nobody, they didn't finish it. Whatever's left over is called noisar, and that has to be burned, and that's burned on the third day. So therefore, in our case, you brought the carbon today on Tuesday. You could eat it Tuesday night, Wednesday. And then you would burn any remaining carbon on Thursday morning. Aha! Ba'oid, so now, Darshan Zigmar, since it says, B'yom Zivchachem, Umi Machras, Ba'oid Yoim, Hunechal. Yes, you can eat it on Tuesday. You can eat it on Tuesday night. Ba'oid Yoim, on Wednesday, you can continue eating it, Ba'oid Yoim. Ve'inanechal or Shlishi, but you cannot eat it Wednesday night, it's already too late. Yochli serve miyad, so I would think, okay, since Wednesday is over, and it's already Wednesday night, maybe I should go and burn the noiser immediately. Nobody can eat it anyway. Let's go and burn it immediately. And the dinner, and I would say, zvachem nechalim liyoyim balayla, just like a regular carbon you eat during the day and at night, balayla echad. And ushlam nechalim lishnei yom balayla echad, shlam you also eat 2 days and one night. Malalon tekev lachilas reifa, just like by the regular case of your regular carbon, that if you didn't eat it up, biyoyim v'layla, then immediately thereafter, meaning the beginning of the next day, the next morning, boom, go and take lachilas reifa. As soon as the permissible period to eat ends, the mitzvah to go and burn begins. So afkan, I would say the same thing, take lachilas reifa. As soon as the mitzvah of eating the karm shlom, which means at the end of Wednesday day, it's now Wednesday night, sreifa, let's go and burn it Wednesday night. Tamaloyim v'noisim v'msara zevach b'yoyim ha-shlishi. B'yoyim ha-shlishi b'esh yisarif. B'yoyim ha-tasarif b'yatasarif v'b'layla, go and burn it only during the day, don't burn it at night. So that's the discussion about the shlamim, fine. But the ikr is, midika omar, since we said at the outset of this mishnah, or this braisa, midika omi he-nechal, or lishlishi, I would have thought that you can continue eating the carbon beyond Wednesday day into or lishlishi. What does that mean? Alma or ortu. Obviously, it means Wednesday night, which is the eve of Thursday, of the third day. Is again another rayish mamina, again another knockout rayish, starke rayish to Rav Yehuda, kasha on Rav Huna. The Gemara is still not satisfied. Let's bring yet another right. Toshima. Or shall yoyma kippur mispal sheva umesvada. Shachas mispal sheva umesvada. We're now telling us what the routine is on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says, when it comes to Yom Kippur, there are a whole bunch of Shmona Esreis and a whole bunch of times that we say vidui. In other words, we clap al chait, we say ashamnu vaganu. So says the Mishnah, the Braisa, or shul yom kippur mispal sheva. You come in Yom Kippur at night, after you start off with kol nidre, we damish tefillah zaka, and the whole works. And now at night, we say Shemon Esrei, Mispal Sheva, meaning seven brachas in Shemon Esrei. Like a regular Shabbos, you have seven brachas. Here too, you have seven brachas in Shemon Esrei. Umisvad, at the end of Shemon Esrei, you say Vidui. Shachris, the next morning, again, Mispal Sheva, Umisvad, you say Shemon Esrei, and you say Vidui. Bemus, Mispal Sheva, Umisvad. Bemincha, Mispal Sheva, Umisvad. The Vav adds, Beneila, Mispal Sheva, Umisvad. Yes, you continue, you don't have Alchet there, but you at least have the brief, you have the Yashanu Beganu. And then now the Tanis is over, Yom Kippur is over, Ba'arvis Matzah, the Yom Kippur, Mispal Me'ein Shmoyne Esrei, you are Mispal Me'ein Shmoyne Esrei. What means Me'ein Shmoyne Esrei? So back in Masechtas Bruchas, we learn Me'ein Shmoyne Esrei means you don't say the entire Shmoyne Esrei like we say from beginning to end, but you say Havinenu. Havinenu is an abbreviated, abridged form of Shemoneh Esrei. Why do we say an abridged form of Shemoneh Esrei? Because, after all, people have been fasting now for the last 25 hours. People are desperate to eat something. So Chazal made life a little bit easier, and they said, you don't have to say the lengthy Shemoneh Esrei, you say an abbreviated form of the Shemoneh Esrei. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, oh no, no, I'm Mishema Voisev, Mispal Shemoneh Esrei, or Shemoneh Oser Shleimois. You have to say your normal, regular Shemoneh Esrei, which is, of course, what we do on Matzah Yom Kippur, regular, normal Shemoneh Esrei. And the reason is that Neshet Tzarech Leim Abdel B'chein Ados. Don't forget, you have to add the Atachin and Tanu, just like you add Matzah Shabbos. You have to do the same thing now when it's Matzah Yom Kippur. Okay, so that's a beautiful discussion. But now notice, how did this price begin? Or Shul Yom Kippur Mispal Sheva. Now, or doesn't mean over here the morning. Because right after that it says, Shachris Mispal Sheva Misvada. Is the Chasim and Or means the night? Alma or to who? Shma Mino. You're absolutely right. We're not finished yet. We have another Raya. Toshima. Titani Dvei Shmuel. This is a Braisa of Dvei Shmuel. They were learning the Hilchais Bedikas Chametz in their Bismedrish. And they say, to eliminate any Shilas, they say, Leile Arba Oser Boidkines HaChametz Li Or Haner. That the eve, the night of Arba Asar, your body comes for an air. Now, here it doesn't leave any doubts in your mind. Here it says, Leile! Then in fact, you have to go and be boydik the night before Arba Asar. And the Gemara is assuming that this price is coming only to be mafarish, to explain the Mishnah, not to disagree with the Mishnah. No, if it's explaining the Mishnah, and our Mishnah says, Oi! And the price says, Leile, Shoin, Alma'or Urtuhu! And therefore we have yet another convincing right. Now this whole discussion in the Gemara is fairly unique in the sense that usually once you have your first raya, Shema Mina, we let go and say, okay, Rav Huna, obviously you made a boo-boo, Rav Yehuda, you're right, congratulations, and we move on. And typically the loser concedes, and we don't have lawsuits for the next few months and people saying, I'm not sure yet, we'll see, we'll transition, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's the end of it. Why? Who's talking politics? Anyway, the question is, why did we bring yet another riot, another riot, another riot? Because we see that the Gemara, Chas v'Shalom, it's not that Rav Huna made a mistake, but rather says the Gemara, rather, Ella bein Rav Huna ubein Rav Yehuda tekuli alma or ortu. Really, we had a mistake, not they had a mistake. When Rav Huna said at the beginning of yesterday's Gemara, that or means nagi, it means light, he meant evening. Whereas Rav Yehuda said laila, he meant evening. They both meant the exact same thing. And in fact, if you go back to the Gemara just for a short moment, right after we started the Gemara says, my or, what does or mean? Rav Huna omer nagi, Rav Yehuda omer leili, says the Gemara, kasol kadaitach, we thought, the man, the omen, nagi, nagi, mamish, and it means day. Mm-hmm. Why did we say kosal kadaitach? Because we see now the maskona that that's wrong. That's not the kavana. The kavana of nagi does not mean day. It means the evening. Now it says vayit uman di omer leili leili mamish. That the one that says leili, he meant mamish leili. But that's true. That's not a kasol kadaita. That's true, man di omalele. Why is he more saying kasol? I thought in the havim in a man di omalele. So now you look at Rashi, and Rashi says, man di omalele lele mamish loy garsinan. Those words should come out. The vade lele hu mamish, avada. That remains lamaskana too. The only thing that changes lamaskana is the nagi, nagi mamish. It doesn't mean, when Rav Huna said nagi, he didn't mean day. He meant night. So that changes. But the rest doesn't change. That's why Rashi says, take the words out. Toysis respectfully disagrees. If you look at the second Toysis on Beis Amid Aleph, says Toysis, Mendi Beis Amid Aleph, says Toysis, Kasol Kadaitach Mandi Omer Nagi, Loinoket Kasol Kadaitach. Why does it say Kasol Kadaitach also by the case of the Leili? Says Toysis, the Kasol Kadaitach is really only really referring to Mishamandi Omer Nagi, to Loikoi Hochi, because we don't remain with that Lemaskon. The Agav Orche, Noket Nami Leili Mamish, to kind of sweep it all together as one long sentence, we said, yeah, Nagi Mamish, Leili Mamish, Umishamachi in Leshabish as form. So says Toysis, it's not necessary to go as far as Rashi said, that you have to cross out the words and delete the Leili Leili Mamish. You can leave that, and it's only brought Agav Orche, where putting it together in one sweep, so to speak. That since Rav Huna, we say Kosar Kadaita. Then when he said Nagi, that he really means Nagi. But that's not really true. And by the way, Rav Yehuda says Leili, which really does remain Limaskon. So, bottom line is, we thought we had this real big machloikis, and we have to bring 12 rayas back and forth, heen and her. No, the truth of the matter is both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are saying the exact same thing. And if that's the case, then why does he use the term Nagi? And why does he use the term Leili? Umar ki Asrei, Umar ki Asrei. Each person is talking in the dialect, in the speech of their own local communities. They asked Rav Huna, Koru Nagi, where Rav Huna lived. They used to go and call the evening, they used to call it Nagi, or Oir, the light. They said, no, it's night. It's night. Now the question is, I have a choice in our Mishnah, either to take the Lashon of Rav Huna, or to take the Lashon of Rav Yehuda. Why did our Mishnah chap on Oir? Wouldn't it have been simpler to say Leili, just like the Tani Devei Reb Shmuel that we had four lines ago, the Tani Didon, my time like Tani Leili, and then we could have saved ourselves an hour yesterday and today. The Torah Lishna Ma'al Yehuda Nakat, because the Gemara is telling us a very important lesson that people should try to purify and refine their speech as much as possible. A person shouldn't say something ugly from his mouth. In other words, you have a choice how to use words, use them in a nice, refined way. How do you know, Rabbi Shimon Levi? The Torah teaches us a lesson in one case, the case of Noach, when Noach was bringing in all the behemoths and the chayas into the teva. It says, "Shenema min habehema hatohira, umin habehema asher einena tohira." Go and bring in kosher animals, seven of each one, and bring the non-kosher animals, two of each one. Now let me ask you, why does the Torah have to say umin habehema asher einena tohira? Wouldn't it have been simpler to say umin habehema hatemeya? That would be much simpler, much shorter. The Bal Koreh would have a much easier time. Instead of saying three words, only one word. And now, how many oisius is there difference between the three words and the one word? So let's do a very, very, very quick calculation. Ha-behema asher einena tohira. The behema remains the same. Asher has three letters. Einena is five letters. 3 plus 5 is 8. Tohira has another five letters. 8 plus 5 is 13 altogether. Now, if we'd say umena behema hatameya, like it says behema hatoheira hatameya, hey tes mem aleph hey, that's five letters. So if you take 13 and you subtract 5, you get 8. That's it. Okay, makosish. When you see the Torah went to great lengths and added 8 letters. Rashi, by the way, points out that when it would say Leili in the Mishnah, that would not be a Dover Maguna. It's not Chas Hashom, you're saying something ugly. You're allowed to say night. You're allowed to say evening. There's nothing ugly about that. But nevertheless, the Mishnah wants to tell you that the Lashon Chachomim is always such that we try to find the most refined way of expressing ourselves. Now, why would people refer to night as oir, as light? Says Rabbeinu David, I believe it's one of the Rishonim, it's quoted in the Art Scroll, and he says that the reason is, this is Beloshin Sagi Nohar. What means Beloshin Sagi Nohar? Sagi Nohar means Chas Hashom, a person who is Rachmon Litzlan, blind. The word Sagi Nohar literally means he has enough light. Sagi, enough, Nohar, light. Or Sagi might even mean a lot of light. He has plenty of light. Why do we say that? Because we don't want to refer to a blind person, oh, he's blind. We want to go and say, this person has a special amount of light. Just like you have today when you have schools for special children. Special children usually means children that have various learning disabilities or health disabilities of one sort or another. We go and refer to them as special children because we don't want to, Chas Hashem, say, sorry?
Special needs
children. Oh, so we don't want to go and say anything derogatory or negative, and that's why we go and say something positive. Even years ago, I remember as a kid, when spoke about a person that was a little, they would say the person is retarded. Today, that's not politically correct.
Balanced.
the challenge, or they say he has developmental disabilities. There are also mamarach with 8 additional oisias, developmentally disabilities, instead of saying just simply that the person is retarded. But anyway, you get the idea. So we have one pasuk that tells us. Rav Papa says, I have another ayah, not from 8 letters, but from 9 letters. Rav Papa Amateisha Shinema says, the pasuk yeh b'cha ish asher lo yeh tohoir mikre loyla. A person that had a discharge at night of Shechvat Zera, and that person is Tomei. Says the Gemara, why does it say Asher lo yeh tohar mikra laila? It could have said Ki yeh b'cha ish Tomei. What's that? Asher lo yeh tohar. Okay, so now we add up the oisius again. Asher comes out to approximately 3. Loy is 2. 3 plus 2 is 5. Yiyah is 4. 4 plus 5 is
9.
Tohar is 4 is
13.
And it could have said Tomei. How much is 13 minus 3?
10.
10. One second. It says Rapapa Omer Teisha. It says 9. So it's 10. Says Dr. Rashi, because since we're saying it could have said Tomei, it could have said Tohar without a Vav. Because you can write Tohar without a Vav and just put a pintle on top of the hay, right? So then we don't have 13, we'd only have 12. 12 minus 9, I'm sorry, 12 minus 3 gives you 9. So that's what Rapapa Omer Teisha. So says Ravina, what do you have to say? You could have said Torah. Lamai, it could have said Torah without a Vav. Oh, but Lamai, it says Torah with a Vav. So Ravina, Omer, answer, it's 10. Vav the Torah. Say, Asher liyeh Torah. It's altogether 13, as you counted correctly before. 13 minus 3 is 10. Oh, Rav Acha Bar Yankif, Omer, I'll bring a raya from another pasuk. Sheish Esrei, 16, Shenemar. Ki Omar Mikre Hu Bilti Tohar Hu Ki Loi Tohar. Wow, that's a long pasuk. That's a pasuk which is brought in Shmuel. Shol HaMelech speaking V'leidibah Shol Ma'uma B'yemahu Ki Omar Mikre Hu Bilti Tohar Hu Ki Loi Tohar. Now all he had to go and say is Ki Omar Mikre Hu Tomei. This is Bilti Tohar Hu Ki Loi Tohar. So let's go, and this is a very, very long already. Bilti is 4 letters. Tohar is 4. 4 plus 4 is
8.
Who is another 3 letters is 11. Ki is 13. Loi is 15. Tohar is 19. It could have said simply Tomei. 19 minus 3 is 16. That's what Rabbi Yankov says. Sheish Esrei. 16. Good. Tanya Devei Rabbi Yishmael. Oilem Yisap Arab Lashon Nikiyah. Person should always speak in a refined way. Why? Shari Bizov Kore Merka will be Isha Koroi Moishav. In the Torah, when we talk about Hilchos Medrash, Medrash means that when a man or a woman is Tamei and sits down on a bed or on a chair or on a bench or on a saddle of a horse, etc., that's a Loshon of the Mishka of a Moishav. What's the din? That it is Tamei Tumas Medrash, a din of an Avatumah. By a woman, you also have the same thing. It's not only by a man, it would be by a Zav. By an Isha, it's even an Isha Nida, or, for that matter, a Zava. So what's the din? Again, if she sits down, that item, the bed, the chair, etc., gets a din of special Tumas Medrash. Now, there's another din in the Torah, which is also called Merkav HaSheyirkav Olav Yitma. Merkav is also referred to in the Torah. That's riding. Now, riding and sitting and lying in bed, I mean, all the basically synonymous terms. The Torah never uses the term Merkav Lagabi Isha. It only uses the Lagabi the Ish. But by the Isha, it uses the Lashon of Moishev. And the Gemara says, we're assuming that Merkav and Moishev are the same. It's not exactly the same. Tosis points out that the Tumas Moishev has a din of not only the person who touches it becomes Tamei, but it's also Tumas Begodim. By a Merkav, if you touch the Tumah, you touch the Medrash, only you become Tamei and not the Begodim. Your clothing does not become Tamei. You don't have to toil in the mikveh. But anyway, why is the Torah Makbid to talk about Hilchos Merkav by the Zav and Hilchos Moishev by the woman? Why don't we switch it around? Let's go and say by the Isha the Lashon of Merkav and the man the Lashon of Mishkav or Moishev. And the answer is, explains Rashi, because in fact it's not only a question of refined way of speech, but it's also in terms of how a person rides a horse. When a man rides a horse, he rides a horse with his feet split, right and left on the both sides. Women go and use what's called a side saddle, that they have both legs on one side instead of splitting the legs. Why? Because it's a derech tznius not to go and split the legs. Being that that's the case, that's why rechiva, which means riding, as opposed to just sitting on a bench or on a chair or a bed. Riding means riding on a horse, or riding on a chamor, on a donkey, etc. So the Torah assumes that the woman is going to do in a very sneistic way such a side saddle, and therefore it doesn't use the term rechiva, but lashon of yeshiva. So we see once again how the Torah is so makbid in speaking in a very refined way. In fact, if you want, you could ask, about 10 lines ago when we started this Gemara, Rabbi Shu ben Levi said, La'olam al yoytzi adam davar maguna mipiv. A person shouldn't say something ugly from his mouth. Rabbi Shmuel is saying the same thing. A person should speak yisaper adam b'losh nekiyah. He should speak in a refined way. One perhaps could say that the Rabbi Shmuel is going already one step beyond Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, don't say something ugly. Says, Rabbi Shmuel, I'm not going to even use that ugly word. Instead of saying, don't do the negative, always do the positive. And the positive is to speak Balash and Akiya in a refined way. And he brings yet other rayas. So we had one rayas from the Mishkav and Moshev. Raya number two, Va'oima v'sivchar loshen arumim. This is a pasuk in Eoiv, where one of the friends of Eoiv said to Eoiv, when you speak v'sivchar, why don't you choose the loshen, the speech, the tongue of arumim. Arumim means of those that are smart. How do we know the word orum means smart? You have that, but the nachash show you orum doesn't mean the nachash was undressed. It means that he was cunning, he was smart. There it has a negative connotation. He was sinister and cunning. But also the word orum means in its unclothed sense. It means pure chachma, it means someone smart. So therefore we're saying, b'sivchar, choose the tongue of the smart people, of the intelligentsia. V'oimer, v'das sefosai borur milelu. Again, the words das vasai, das, a person who's using his seichel, borur, he's going to go and choose something which is borur. Borur means, says Rashi, a lashon noki umavur. The word borur over here is like something that's like borur on Shabbos, where you take the oichel mitoich apsoilis. You want to go and choose the most refined speech, this vasayim, your lips, milelu, and they're going to speak, they should go and choose the choicest words.
Would you say that vadas svasai, that knowledge of the lips, like how to use one's mouth?
In the way the Gemara is interpreting it now, is a das, a person who's using his das, svasai, he'll make sure that his lips, bor milelu, milelu is a lashon of speaking, he will speak the choicest words. So we have now three rayas, one from the Mishkav Moishim, another raya from the Sivcha Loshon Arumim, and number three, Das Vasai. Pray tomorrow, why do you have to have three? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very makbid in his Torah to speak in a refined way. Maybe the Chachamim, when they taught the Mishnayis and the Brises, they didn't speak in such a refined way. No. Chazal, you also speak clear. Maybe if you're just talking about sports, or you're talking about Knicks, you're talking about the White House, you're talking about who won and who lost the election, maybe there you can go and already use, shall I say, vulgarities. You don't have to speak in such a refined way. No, you should always speak in a very, very refined way. My son told me that, my son Ben Zion said that someone asked Rav Pam Zichron Levracha, famous Shiva of Torah Vedas, and he asked him, is a Jew allowed to use the F word? I won't tell you what F word stands for, but can you say the F word? So he said, what you mean to say that someone is a fresser? Chas v'shalom, you're not supposed to. Don't say a person a fresser. Maybe, but don't, of course not, don't use such words. Exactly, what type of shayla is that?
Even the answer shayla is.
I don't know, I'm just telling you, the whole story might be apocryphal, but this is what my son told me, but the point is, you have to go and speak in a very refined way. So, Gemara Vayta. Ubi'isha. Okay, so those are the three nice rayas. Even when you're speaking daily lashon, speak in a refined way. So, Gemara Ubi'isha loiksiv ba merkav. Do we not find the word rechiva used by a woman because that's a lashon of tznias, the moisha, and not merkav? Voksiv, vatokim rivka ben arisev, vatirkavna ale gemala. Use a lashon of rechiva by Rivka. And Rivka obviously was a tzedekis, one of the arba imots. Says Rashi, gemalim are these big, tall animals. The last Rashi, shu gavoya, and a camel is much higher than your lowly horse or donkey. You could easily fall off, etc. tall, towering animal. Even by women, they're going to go and do rechiva. They should say machzekas by bidam rechiva, to be able to hold on to it for dear life. It's almost like a pikuach nefesh. So this would be the exception to the rule. You wouldn't normally find rechiva by a donkey or by a horse. Oh, but it's talking about Kamal, but different story. Pray more about Ksif. Vayikach Moshe's Ishtoi v'ezbanav. Ishtoi, which is Tzipoira, v'ezbanav v'yarki v'malachamar. And now we're talking about a donkey. Every Mora, that's not referring to the Ishtoi. Pasam Mishem banav orchuhu. Because it says in the Pasik, Ishtoi v'ezbanav v'yarki v'em. So v'yarki v'em is going right after the word banav. Shitaka was v'loshin yeshiva, but they v'loshin rechiva. Pray more about Ksif. V'yarachemes alachamar. This is talking about Abigail, the wife of Novel. She was pleading for Novel's life because David HaMelech had already decided he was going to kill Novel because of bad things that Novel did. And Abigail came to David HaMelech in the middle of the night, Recheves al-Chamar, to plead for his life. And the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that Abigail was in fact a Neviah, so she wasn't just any regular nice lady. She was one of the Neviahs. So that being the case, why did it say Recheves? Because she was traveling at night. Novel shouldn't know. She was quickly trying to go and save her husband's life, and she ran quickly to David HaMelech. So it was at night.
Successful?
She was. That wasn't her concern. Afterwards, she was going to plead her case in front of the king, so she was all nervous the whole time, and therefore she was shaking. Therefore, she was afraid she'd fall off the horse. I guess she was going up to Yerushalayim. I assume David at that time was Yerushalayim. You have to look up the psukim. Anyway, Yerushalayim harim sabavlo. Yerushalayim is considered to be very, very high. So she was concerned that she shouldn't fall off. So she had to go and hold on to the reins, and she had to go and sit accordingly. Frank Dimara. You're telling me on the Omid Aleph that by the Mabel we were careful to go and say, Asher Nene Torah, Ubeir Aisim Yilek Sif Tomei, doesn't say the word Tomei by the Torah. Avada, if you look in Parsha Shemini, and again in Parsha Re'e, where it goes and enumerates all the Oifos HaTomeiois, and all of those animals which are Tomei, etc. So we use the word Tomei. In fact, the word Tomei is used quite often in the Torah. So why doesn't it say Asher Nene Torah? Why does it say Tomei? Ele Kolecha Dechi Adori Nino Mishtoi Belosh Nekir. What the Gemara is telling us is avada, refined speech, is very, very important. On the other hand, we cannot constantly go and abuse this refined speech by constantly adding on additional unnecessary words. And so therefore the Torah tells us two lessons. That if the usage of the refined term and the regular term are identical in terms of number of letters and number of words, then you should always use the refined. However, if using the refined term sometimes will overdo it in terms of adding additional words and additional letters, there's another very important lesson to be learned, that you should always learn and teach your Talmidim Balashim Kitzara in a very brief way. Because a person who's very verbose and talks and talks and talks and talks, you can go and get lost and miss the forest for the trees because the person just keeps on talking. So it's always good to be succinct and brief. And then in German they used to say, in der Kurze liegt die Wurze. In brevity is the essence. When you go and do something short, you chop it. A person gives a speech, the speech is 5 minutes, you remember the essential thought that he was giving. He speaks for half an hour, he rambles on, you have no idea what he's talking about. Either. That's to go and teach the lesson. In fact, Rashi says on the Amud Aleph that it only has to do it once or twice to go and give us that lesson. See if you look at the Rashi. Asher Einene Tohira. See Rashi and Einene Tohira, it's 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Asher Einene Tohira. Right at the beginning of the line. You have that, Rashi? Asher Einene Tohira, beginning of the line. Asher Einene Tohira. V'lo iksiva behem hatmeya, ki orchei har, ki orchei, har shmoina oisis, ikem hatmeya, chomish oisis, hein, asher Einene Tohira, shloishes oisis. V'yav agab du berais iksiv tomei, shoni orchei b'chaduch, l'lamedch l'chazer aloshin nekia. Normally, if you have a choice, say the word tomei. Tomei is only 3 letters. Why should you go and say 8 letters, 12 letters, 13 letters, 16 letters? Say it short, because you had a mitzvah to go and learn in brevity, to keep it short. However, in this case, the Torah has to go and teach us this lesson about refined Lashonis, for sometimes the Torah will expand.
So, so in the,
Is it better to say short and good than good and long?
Very good. Yes.
So I would sacrifice brevity for being appropriate, for using the right language.
So what the Torah is telling us is exactly what you're right. That normally be brief, go and teach Talmidei b'derech katzara. If you teach him in brief, succinct terms, he'll remember it, he knows what you're talking about. If you're talking about the verbose, long, long terms, he'll forget, it'll get befuddled and be muddled in his mind. But from time to time, the Torah will give us a couple of lessons to say, but be careful about refined speech, speak in a refined manner. Is good, Mendy, Mr. Friend? Baruch Hashem. So we have the Rashi addresses this issue on the Amud Aleph as well. So I once heard, I don't remember from whom, why Dafke in the Mabul does it say Asher in Torah? And then when you get to the Behemoth and the Chayas in Parsha Shemini, and in other parishes too, they say the word Tomei. Why don't you say Lamushal? Why don't you go and tell the lesson of Asher in Torah, Lamushal, by the Behemoth and Tomei, that are not kosher? So I once heard, because it's one thing when you are teaching lessons in morals and in ethics, and it's another thing when you are telling halacha lemaisa. When a person comes to you with a shaila, is this kosher or not kosher? Don't say, I'm afraid to tell you, but I think it's probably not kosher. Then you got to go and tell him, Tomei.
To the point.
To the point. Because you're now giving a psak halacha. Don't beat around the bushes to try to find the most refined and nice way of consoling him and telling him, it's not kosher, period. Now, it might not be considered under normal circumstances. If it's seemingly, you would think, and it's apparent that it's not kosher. However, to teach the lesson, that you can say by the Mabels. The Mabels teach the lesson about the Sher Nenet Tayyim. Good. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so we have to now do quickly. We just said that you have to learn the Lashon Katara. So, Nochamu.
There's a lot of words to say that, brother.
Yeah, it took quite a few words to say that. So, kol echem nefishim milim et shtoy b'lashik tzar. Kida omar ravun omar rabbi, amr la omar ravun omar rabbi, shumar meir, lo ilo b'yishana odom, tamid derek tzar, always teach with brevity. So, timar, kol heicha, dechi hadori ninu, mishtoy b'lashik kovoid. Let me ask you a question. Wherever it's the same in terms of letters and in language, you're telling me, then you always prefer the refined term. Back on the top line, when we spoke about Abigail, it says, you're telling me that if it's exactly the same number of letters, we would prefer using the refined term. So why didn't it say, Yoyshevis alachamar? By the way, the Tzlach asks, I don't know what the Gemara is asking the Kasha. We already asked the Kasha. We already answered the Kasha. Mishum b'yasusa d'layla. Or mishum b'yasusa d'david. Or mishum b'yasusa d'har. We already addressed the issue why it says Recheves. Because she, in fact, was Recheves because of the b'yasusa. But presumably what the Gemara is saying is, Yoshevis is a more inclusive term, because Yoshevis means any way of sitting, sitting normally, sitting to the side, sitting on top, sitting on bottom, whatever. So it could have said Yoshevis, and tell us that she was terrified that she would Rechevis. Anyway, but bottom line is, Yoshevis and Rechevis, exactly the same number of Oisius, comes out exactly five, right? Reish Vav Chav Beis Tav, Yud Vav Shin Beis Tav, exactly five. Chiyadon Ninu, no, become Rechevis. Why didn't it say Yoshevis? Everything you are, because Rechevis Ksiv, it says without a Vav, Reish Chav Beis Tav, it's only four letters, and therefore that's shorter than Yoshevis. And what are you all going to jump up and ask at the same time? Rechevis is written without a Vav. Guess what? You can write Yoshevis without a Vav. So yeah, the reason why I use Rechevis is because this is shorter. It's shorter than Yoshevis. Why? Because it's missing a Vav. No, right? Yoshevis without a Vav, and it'll also be shorter. Anyway, this is not my kasha. Both Rashi and Tosis ask this kasha. If you look at the Rashi, second narrow line, Reicheves Ksiv, V'yavel gav the Motzi l'michtav nami, Yoshevis choser. Miu kol chaseder shebetoyra lidrei shein boin. Anytime you find a choser v'yeser in the Torah, why did the Torah leave out a vav? There must be a lesson to be learned. The kan l'mevcha v'chisor en zeh, shetitvois loshin ketzora v'afiluhu meguna. Here we have the opposite lesson than we had on the Amud Aleph. On the Amud Aleph, we said, sometimes you should go and be marich to speak with refined tongue. Here the Gemara is telling us, sometimes you have to use a non-refined tongue when you want to speak Lashon Katara, when you want to speak Pikitzur. Sheharikan tofes Lashon Meguna, the word rechiva by a lady is not a tzniastik term, Pikitzur, but the Torah tells us without a vav to tell you, sometimes you can use such lashonis, especially since they're true, because she had the Biasusa, and to teach us the lashon, try to be makatzer. fact, they say that what's the Rosh HaTevis that you say about the person, the chairman of the evening, is always called the MC. So MC, some people mistakenly think it means master of ceremonies. But really, MC is really, Oisius in Yiddish, it means Macht Kurz. Just keep the program short. MC, Macht Kurz, keep it Kurz and Sharf, keep it short.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Now you know. You see, now you know the real chat. So, okay, what about Tano, Trey Talmidi, the Havi Yasvi, Kamei, the Rav? There were two Talmidim sitting in front of Rav. And there was a shir that was given. And apparently the shir was not that interesting. Sachad Omar once said, Shivisinan Haishmaita, the way this Gemara was presented and the way we learned it was Kedover Acher Misankon. The word Dover Acher is referring to an animal which we commonly refer to a Dover Acher. For those of you that are not familiar with what we're talking about, it's referring to a Chazer. The Gemara doesn't want to use the Chazer because a Chazer is pig, pork, tunishasin. So therefore he uses a nice refined way, we call it Dover Acher. But what's Misankon? Rashi says Misankon means tired and worn out. So he was complaining that this Gemara was such that when he was learning the Gemara, I now feel, and this Gemara feels like a tired, worn out Dover Acher. V'chad Omer, in the second Talmud says, I agree with you partially. I don't feel like a worn out Dover Acher, I feel like a worn out Gedi. Zokti Gemara, v'lo yishtoi rab v'hadi dehech. Rav did not speak to the first Talmud that used that expression, Kedover Acher Misankar. You could have said, Kedi Misankar. Why did you say Dover Acher Misankar? Oh, since even though the word Dover Acher itself is a refined term, since we're referring to the Chazer, but nevertheless, he could have said, Kedi Misankar. Why do you have to say Kedover Acher? Therefore, he didn't speak to him. One of them, Farshim says, was only for 30 days. Not that he didn't speak for the rest of his life, but for the next 30 days. One of them, Farshim asked, why do you have to have the second Mandi Yomar? Just talk about the first Mandi Yomar. Because after all, Rav did talk to the second Mandi Yomar. It's the first Mandi Yomar that he didn't speak to. So leave out this Kedima Sankan. You can figure it out on your own. You didn't have to say Dover Acher Misankan. You didn't have to say anything. The reason is because he would only say the first statement. Maybe the reason why Rav didn't speak to the person for the 30 days is not because of the fact that he referred to the Dover Acher, but maybe because he referred to learning the Gemara as being kind of a drudgery, and it was difficult, and it was boring, and then
tiring.
It put me to sleep, it wore me out. So not Rav's kapeda was not because of the Dover Acher Misankan, but because of the Shavisa Naishmaitza. That's why we bring the second Mandi Yomar that also said that I'm worn out from this Gemara. He didn't have a taina on him on that. It was only the taina was on the Dover Acher expression instead of the Gdi expression. So you see, the focus is again on refined speech. And the Gemara is going to go and give another couple of examples. Two Talmidim sitting in front of Hillel. The Amr, the others had a different version of the story that it happened in front of Rebbe, which is already a later generation. And one of them was not Rebbe Yochanan Zakkai, but it was Reb Yochanan. Okay, what happens? What were they teaching? What were they learning? What is this all about? Betzira and Mesika are synonymous terms. In the Hebrew language, is a richer language in many respects. And when it comes to the word harvesting, while we in English, when you harvest grain, or you harvest grapes, or you harvest olives, you're harvesting. You're just cutting them down and collecting them to process. In Hebrew, however, that's not the case. When it comes to grain, we say kitzira, like kitzira se'oimer. When it comes to harvesting grapes, we say bitzira. When we talk about harvesting olives, we use the term mesika. All of these are synonyms that mean harvest, but they are different terms. Okay, so now, what does that mean? When you have both grapes and olives, if you put them together and you compact them in kalim, in other words, you're the farmer in the farm, and you're collecting tons and tons of grapes or of olives, so when you put your grapes together in these huge containers, eventually, as a result of the weight of the upper ones, the lower ones down below are going to split or crush, and guess what? You're going to have some juice that is going to flow out from the bottom grapes as a result of the combustion and as a result of the weight of the upper grapes. On the other hand, the same thing l'chayr applies to olives. Okay, olives are a little bit stronger in their texture, but nevertheless, if you put the 10,000 olives one on top of the other, the bottom ones are going to say, oy, 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 oy. They're going to get squashed and squished and mished and mashed, and they're going to be crushed, and guess what? Some olive juice is going to flow. Now, when it comes to the grapes, there's a kapeda. We are makbid dafka to use kalim tahorim. We make sure that the kalim are tahor. If we have any doubts, we toivel the kalim to make sure these kalim are being used for the grapes. However, when it comes to the olives, we don't have this hakpada, and we use any type of container. Your tahor, nishtahor, it doesn't bother us. It doesn't make a difference. Question is, why is there this chalik? So Rashi points out that the reason is because when it comes to the din of being machshir lekabel tumah, machshir lekabel tumah means that for any food item, so that it should be susceptible, vulnerable to be mekabel tumah, you first have to be machshir. How are you machshir it? By using one of the seven mashkois, yad shoch adam. The famous one is water. But the same thing applies also to wine, to grape juice, as well as shemen, to olive oil. Those also are machshir. Explains Rashi, by grapes, those bottom grapes that get mushed and mashed and crushed by the upper grapes, when that water, or that, not water, but the grape juice begins to flow, the balabas likes the fact that it's flowing, because what is he going to do? He's going to take all these into the gas anyway, to go and crush all of them, to go make grape juice or make wine. So therefore, he's happy that it's starting to flow. And if anything, it perhaps keeps them moist so they shouldn't get dried out. And he is happy. So therefore, it is machshir lekabel tumah. Because like Gabi Hechshir, this din has to be kiyutan, the kiyutan has to be nichalei, he's happy. However, when it comes to the olives, the juice that is coming out, that's not real olive oil. That only happens later on in the process. Rather, it's only mohel. Mohel means this juice which is very inferior, which you typically just pour out and get rid of. And therefore, that is not machshir. So that's why there is a kapeda. We're makbid, we're careful, we're meticulous and scrupulous that when you're harvesting the grapes, make it in kelim tahorim, but we're not so careful when it comes to harvesting the olives. So now, notice how the two Talmidim expressed this thought. The first one said, how come when it comes to the olives, the grapes, we are careful that it should be in kelim tahorim? But we're not careful about using kelim tahorim for the olives. The other one said, the same concept, but look at the terminology. How come we're careful by the grapes to do it in kelim tahorim? But when it comes to the olives, we use even tamei dikei kelim. Why didn't he say v'ein moiskim b'tahara? He was not careful. And therefore, says Yomar Omar. Now the Rebbe being either Hillel or Rebbe, said, Muftach ani bazeh shemoyer Rabbi Yisrael. I know that first Talmud that used the refined terms, ein moiskim b'tahara, he's going to become a big poisik in Klal Yisrael. It didn't take long at Yehoi Rabbi Yisrael that either Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai in the first case or Rabbi Yochanan in the second case became the great, great Godel, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai or Rabbi Yochanan. Next case. Hano to Losa Kahani. There were three Kahanim that were eating the Lechem Haponim together. When do you eat the Lechem Haponim? On Shabbos Kodesh. You have 12 Lechem Haponim and you go and split it up between the Mishmar HaNichlas, Mishmar HaYotzei. Good. And you had a nice number of Kahanim and you had the Lechem Haponim. And guess what? Unfortunately, they didn't get large portions. Many, many Kahanim. Chad Omer Lehu. Higiani Kippul, that the total amount of Lechem Haponim I got was like a bean. In other words, think about the beans that you have in your chulund. That's the total amount that I got. Not many beans in the chulund, just like one bean, that's how much I got. Chanam Higiani Kizayas, I got a Kizayas. Chanam Higiani Kizon of Halto. Kizon means the tail of Halto of a lizard. The tail of a lizard is very, very small. But obviously, it's not such a Lashon Nekiyah referred to the Lechem Haponim. Podko Achram, and they were boidik after that third koyin. Umatzu boy shemetz psul. What means shemetz psul? Pashup shat shemetz psul, says Rashi, means that we found that this koyin was a cholol. How do we find that he was a cholol? That means that earlier on, for instance, his parents were not of pure lineage. What means that they were not pure lineage? For instance, his mother might have been a grusha, a divorcee, and the husband was his father was a kohen. So, well, father's a kohen, so his son is also a kohen. But if the kohen marries a divorcee, then the child is a cholol. And therefore, he is disqualified from doing avoida, and we had to, unfortunately, ask him to leave, not to come back to Beis Hamikdash anymore to do avodah, because he's nebuch hey chol.
And he couldn't duchen.
He couldn't duchen. Oh, pray Timora. I v'hatnan. Didn't we learn the Mishnah that? Yes, Rabbi Cohen Zichron Levracha would quote this Gemara often. Ein boikun of zbeach alamale. Once you have a coin that did avoid already on top of the mizbeach, in other words, he already did avoid it. You don't ask any more questions. He remains pure genealogy for the rest of his life, and therefore, why are we being bodik umatzu by shemitz? But we shouldn't be bodik. It's done. We already paskin. Now the Gemara doesn't really go into it, but Rashi goes into it that any time a Kohen was admitted to Kohen school, as you know, we learn elsewhere that the Kahanim went for 5 years for schooling in learning all the Hilchas Avoida. So before you were admitted in the school, you had to go and show your papers and prove that you were a Kohen and that your Yichas was fine and good. And then there was a special Bezdin Mamuna on these Inyanim that would go and say, yeah, Kusher, or Chas V'Shalom say that this coin is possible. So he already went through this whole admission and registration process. So why do we go through it again? For Ein Boikim in the Bechel and Malach. After the Amor, Lo Teima Shemetz Psul, Ela Eima Shachetz Psul. Ein Achanami, don't use the expression Shemetz Psul, meaning that he was a Chol. We found Shachetz Psul. What means Shachetz Psul, says Rashi, is we found that he's a Gas Ruach. We find that this person is objectionable. We would call him today a Shaygetz. Yes, he is a kosher guy, but come on, pompous, arrogant, right away. That's how you're talking about. A grub ying, a prosta mensch. We're talking about kochim, we're talking about lechem panim. It's like the lizard's tail, and that's where you talk. That's pshat number one. Iboy yaseima, shani hosim diyu de ora anafshe. Enochanami, you're 100% right. Normally, after a person does avoida once, we don't ask any more questions. But here, since he spoke with such bad language, zanabalta, we did a new bdika, and guess what? And we found that the first process that we did of choosing this kohen was done incorrectly, and in fact he was a cholo after all. After we delved into it, we found that Itaka had a psul in his era, in his genealogy, and in fact he was a cholo. Next gemara. Now this next gemara really doesn't deal with purity and refinement of speech, but rather is in yet another case where we did a second later bedika to determine a person's true identity. Says Yimahu Armoah, there was a Goy Davasol. This is one of the most famous stories you have in Shas. Hahu Armoah, there was a Goy Davasolik v'ochel Pesachim Yerushalayim, that he would every year go up to eat the Karban Pesach together with all the Jewish people. And Omar, and he said, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk called Benechalu Yoichel Boy, a Nochri, a Goy should not eat, a stranger shouldn't eat it. It says called Oralu Yoichel Boy, a person who doesn't have a bris should not eat it. But no, Kokil, me Shufri Shufri. I get nice portions, the best in the Shensta, I get from the. From every time, every year, roast beef. I don't know if you can get roast beef because it's really from lamb or from goats. But whatever, it's a roast lamb, I get the choices for lamb chops. Oh, givaldik. So now, he told this story in front of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who was in Netzivim. Netzivim is a place in Bavel. It's only Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Let me ask you, Mikasof Uloch Me Alia, did they ever give you from the tail? The tail, that's the fattiest part, that's schmaltzy. This is givaldik, it's greasy, it's tremendous. Did you ever get from that? No, you were gypped. You were gypped. Kisalkis la'as. And when you go back next time, Karban Pesach time, Eimlu, tell them, Sofalim Alia, I want to eat from the Alia. Kisalik, next year when he went up, Amlehu, it came now time for dividing up the portion. He said, Ma'alia Sofali, give me a portion of the Alia. Amrulay, Alia, are you nuts? Everybody knows, every Yingala knows that the Aliyah is part of the Aymurin that you put on the Mizbeach. It doesn't go to Bnei Adam, it goes to Hashem. Omrulay, so they asked him, Man Omlach, who gave you this idea? Man Omlachachi. Omlahu, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the great God Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said I should ask for the Aliyah. Omru, my Haide Kaman. We smell a rat over here. I can't say rat. A mouse. We smell something, that something is wrong over fishy. Here. Fishy. Would Rabbi Yehuda ben say to the grace of God, go and suggest you should go and eat from the Aliyah? Bodku Basrei said, in fact, they did a new bedika. They found that he was a goy, but clue, and they killed him. Why did they kill him? Because he ate from the Karban Pesach. So says the Minchas Chinuch, because he was Goizel Kodshim. He was stealing Kodshim. He had no right to go and eat. And Gezel Bayan Akum, even if it's less than a Shema Pruta, he's Chayav Misa. That's why he was killed. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder kill him already? So Rashi or Tosis says the reason is because he didn't have the koyach in Chutzlaretz Ein Donim, the Bezin didn't have the koyach to go and kill, so therefore they had to wait to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and then the Bezin over there decided him the Misa. Anyway, so Rashi says, the reason why we're bringing this story is to go and say that there were two times when someone said something, and as a result, they did a new bedikah afterwards, and we saw the consequences. In the other case, it became a chol, and this consequence, he passed away.
Nitzivin is involved
in the church? Nitzivin is involved, yeah. Shalom chalei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder. Shalom lecha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder. The at ben Nitzivin, you're in Nitzivin in Bavel, and your net is spread out all the way to Yerushalayim. The obvious question is, why in fact did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder stay in the Tzivim? Why didn't he come to Yerushalayim together with everybody else? Being Karm Pesach. So Tosis asks his Kasha, second Tosis before the end. Tosis says, three Terutzim. You see, third line into the Tosis, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder, Shloi Ola Berega, why didn't he go up? Yeshloim Shloi Ola Karka. According to this Tosis is saying, according to the first Teretz, you only have a Chiyav of being oily regal if you own Karak and Eretz Yisrael. Or Yizokin Hoya because he was really too old, and Yochel Halach Baragla, he couldn't go anymore. Inami Netzim Chutzlaretzi, and this Pshat and Toysis holds that Netzivin is a Chutzlaretz, like we just said, and in fact the Rashi brings from a Pasik, Ba'arach V'Achad V'Chalni, Ba'eretz Shinar, Metargim, Ba'hodasu Netzivin. Eretz Shinar, Shinar is Ninaru Sham Meisei Mabu, which was in Bavel, so you see Shinar and Tzivim, all is Bavel. Anyway, Toysis quotes the Rashi at the end of the Toysis. He brings Tam Yerushalmi, Be'erach, Be'akad, Be'chalni, Be'erach Shinar, Be'targim, Be'hadas, and Tzivim. So Tzivim in Eretz Shinar, Shinar is Bavel. Fine. Anyway, so Toysis gives three terutzim why Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder didn't go up to Eretz Yisrael for regel, either because he didn't own property, or he was too old, or because of the fact that he lived in Chutzlaretz. So this Tosis is fertile ground for huge, huge amounts of Torah among the Rishonim and Achronim. Where did Tosis take this from? The second pshat is the easy pshat. He's too old, he's frail, a kenishish guy. I understand. A kenish. But the first, because he didn't own karka. Who says that there's a din of karka? Who says there's a din if you live in Chutzlaretz, there's no din of being oile regel? Anyway, tons and tons of forshim on this Tosis, and we continue on. Right. Rav Kahana Cholesh. Rav Kahana was sick. Ashadru Rabban Rav Shul Bereid Rav Idi. So the Rabbanan sent Rav Shul Bereid Rav Idi to visit and find out what was Rav Kahana's condition. Omrulay, they said to him, Zil B'doik Mai Dinei. Go and see how he's doing. In other words, is he well? Is he getting better? Is he getting worse? Exactly. Also, so he came. Ashkei, and by the time Rav Shul Bereid Rav Idi came on the scene, Ashkei Noch Nafshi Nebuch Rav Kahana already passed away. He was so upset. He went and rent his own garment, the ahadre le kar lachayre, and he turned the cut in his clothing to the other side, so it should not be immediately visible. People shouldn't know that he tore kriya. And as he's coming back to the Bismedish to tell the other Rabbanan, Ubachi the Asi Nebuch, he was crying because of the great loss of Rav Kahana. By the way, was Rav Kahana a kohen or was he Yisrael?
Are there two of Rav Kahana?
Exactly.
Very right.
Exactly. Anyway, so the point is, they were crying the Nebuch Rav Kahana, either Rav Kahana the kohen or Rav Kahana the Yisrael, passed away. Is Omrulay, so they saw that he was crying, they said, Noch Nafshe, did Rav Kahana pass away? Omulahu, so he said to them, Anoloi Kamina, I wasn't going to use those terms that he passed away. Because moitzi diba hu ksil, an imbecile, a ksil means an imbecile, a person who is a stupid person, is moitzi diba, he says poor tongue. So I wasn't going to say anything. You picked up on it that he passed away, you're right, but I wasn't going to say anything with my mouth. Again, to speak in a very refined way.
What would be a more refined way to say he passed away?
We'll see. Mi'at Hashem, we'll see. Yoichan Chakukah Nafal Kikiyaseh. Yoichan Chakukah went out to the Kiryah to go and inspect his crops. Why did he have a name Chakukah? Rashi says in the bottom, Kinui Hashem, this was just a nickname. Everybody, this is the Yoichan Chakukah. Maybe. If you look at the last Oysis, Oysis has two other Pshatu Chakukah. Either is a Lashon Rabbeinu Chananel Hananel Soifer. The reason why it's probably Chakukah, because the Torah is Chokuk. The Luchais was Chorus. It could have said Chokuk on Shtei Luchais. So maybe that's why it's called the Soifer. Very Pirish Meir Chakukah. He was from the town of Chakukah, the famous Chakukah town. Anyway, so Yoichan Chakukah went out to see his fields. He also, when he came back, Omele, they asked him, Chitin Nasi Yafais, how are the Chitin doing this year? How are the wheat? This is a good wheat product. Omelehem, Soirim Nasi Yafais, the barley is fantastic. He didn't respond, apples and oranges, right? They asked him about the Chitin, and he said that the barley is fantastic. Omele, so they said now in a kind of a mocking way, oh, let's go put up posters for all the Susim and Chamayrim. Good news that, Baruch Hashem, you can have wonderful barley to eat. In other words, in the good old days, it's not like today, the people go and see that there's some barley, it's better because there's more gluten, less gluten, the calories, the cholesterol. Yeah. In those times, chitin were eaten by mankind, so'irim barley was eaten by the animals. So he said, the barley is fantastic this year. Huh? So let's go and tell all the animals the good news. Hey, chamayrim, come here, all you donkeys. We want to tell you the good news. You're going to have great meals for the next few weeks because the barley is great. So in other words, they are, come on, why'd you tell him? So Timurim, I have the lemeimer. He didn't want to tell them that unfortunately the chitim came out lousy. And that's why he didn't want to say the bad lashon, the chitim, these are miserable this year. That's why he said that the barley is good. So l'chari did the right thing. He focused on the positive and not on the negative. My have lemeimer, what should he have said? So Timurim, he shouldn't have spoken about sa'irim. So come on, that's a galechta, that's a laughter. Rather, he should have said, ishtak in nasa chitim yofes. When they asked him how the chitim, he should have said, last year's crop was much better. That was a great crop. Without saying anything about this crop, last year was much better. Inami, or he should have said, adash in nasa yofes. He shouldn't have talked about the sa'irim, he should have talked about the lentils. Why, says Rashi? Because lentils are machal odam. People go and eat lentils. And therefore, they don't eat barley. So bottom line is, even when you want to, unfortunately, something is bad, always focus on the good. Don't talk about the bad things, talk about the good things. So you can ask me, what about the case of Rav Gana, that what should he have said? And we're going to see in the top of the Gemara tomorrow that they asked Rav, what's the story with Mami? And he said, father is, Baruch Hashem, doing very, very well. So they inferred from that unfortunately, I'm going to see that in tomorrow's Gemara. So here the same thing, says the Gemara, instead of saying Rav Kana passed away, he could have said Rav Kana's Rebbetzin, Baruch Hashem, she looks like she's 5 years old, she's full of energy, or something similar. Have a wonderful day. Any questions on my side? Okay, Hatzlacha Rabba, Mietchim, we continue tomorrow. Mietchim, Vaita, Belosh, Nakia, only in a very refined way.
I once asked somebody,
Shlomo, you have a question?
Reference.
You see how Jewish euphemism and sarcasm